Welcome to this Understory special. I'm Elizabeth Poe. On Thursday, March the 11th, 2021, the world saw a climate action unlike any before. Banners were present and people were keeping vigil, some with bells ringing, outside all sorts of public offices and places of worship at 11 a.m. all around the world. This event was supporting the Sacred People, Sacred Earth statement, offered by Green Faith International and the Australian Religious Response to Climate Change, amongst others. Around Australia, the statement to sound the alarm for the climate and call for climate justice was honed for our government with four asks. The first, a formal commitment from Australia under the Paris Accord to achieving net zero emissions by 2030. It follows that Australia should offer nationally determined contributions, or NDCs, that align with this goal. The second, the use of post-COVID recovery spending to boost renewable energy and low-carbon industries rather than fund a gas-led recovery. The third, provision of substantial amounts of finance for the United Nations Green Climate Fund, additional to the aid budget. And the fourth, provision of support for an orderly, planned, just transition for communities currently dependent on the coal and gas industries. These are far-reaching supports for a sustainable future for Australia, for our planet, for localities beyond the clear and loud calls on the 11th of March, so through, at least, to the next round of crucial international climate negotiations, known as COP26. Understory's Adrian Glamorgan spoke to those gathered at the event in Perth City, outside the Wesley Church, and we meet some in this special extended program. Firstly, Anne Zubrick, the presiding clerk of Quakers in Australia. Then we hear from former Senator Joe Valentine, also a long-time member of the Religious Society of Friends, or Quakers. We also hear from Dr. Daniel Vucic from Uniting Church, who's on the Management Committee of the Australian Religious Response to Climate Change. And Trish McAuliffe is a Zen Buddhist and climate activist.
My name's Anne Zubrick and I'm the presiding clerk of Quakers Australia.
What brings you to the Wesley Corner here in Perth today?
Well, several things have brought me here today. One is that I'm here on behalf of Quakers around Australia to share the messages that Quakers want to share about the urgency of climate change and species extinction. But I'm also here as one of the national faith leaders to join with all faiths and none, because this affects people everywhere, and many people who are not part of our faith communities are as concerned about climate change as those of us who see this as a dimension of our faith experience and lived lives.
Why would religions be concerned about the climate emergency more than anyone else?
I don't know that we see it more than anyone else, but we see it as part of the way in which we hold our various beliefs. And I find it rather strange that there are people in some religious traditions or environments who worship a God who isn't visible and yet do not look at the creation which they believe God was there for, and attend to God's presence in the visible. I find that quite puzzling. But I suspect for people of faith, we do really want to hold, to celebrate, to recognize, and to care for the whole of creation, of which we are all a part.
The Abrahamic religions have a tradition of perhaps considering dominion over nature. Do you think that's something that needs to be thought through?
I do, and it's not a Quaker practice. We hold the whole of life to be sacred. We do not hold any part of life over which we have dominion.
Well, what about politics and religion? Do you feel that religion should be speaking up about these matters? Is there a line that we need to draw between people's faith and, you know, when governments go ahead or and don't do anything about climate emergency? What's the right point and line? It's a bad question. I'll work out your best answer.
I think that would be a great question to put to the Prime Minister, who very much is part of a faith community, and to seek his response to that.
He's not taking our calls at the moment.
Well, keep trying. The climate emergency, one of the things that I think is helpful to draws an analogy for people is the parallels that we've experienced this past year during the pandemic, which arrived on our doorstep. There have been pandemics in the past, but this one was of a different scale and we needed to pay attention to it. And what we have seen under those circumstances is people of all political parties, all kinds of traditions in society, coming together and saying, this is something we need to tackle, we can tackle, it's going to take concerted effort and everybody on board to get us through this time. We had national meetings that involved the state premiers as well as national ministers. We have had a plan, we have had targets, we've had clear communication. We've kept the population really well informed as things have unfolded on the way and said, this is a variation. This is something we need to do differently. These are vulnerable people. These are vulnerable communities. The climate crisis and species extinction is inviting a parallel response. We know we can do it. We've done it. We're doing it. This is one where we can apply those principles.
And presumably both climate and COVID are evidence-based, science-based issues.
Indeed, and just as the way that we've listened to the scientists and taken their advice to guide us in the direction and the outcomes and the interventions and procedures to put in place, and money has been there to support those endeavours, listen to the scientists on climate change. Listen to the people who have the solutions. I've just read most of Roscano's wonderful book with all his examples of where we can go with green technology, a different future. I, like many others in our working environment, have had to adjust over past years to rapid changes in technology. We can relearn. We can address the concerns of people in communities that are going to be significantly adversely affected and remind ourselves that in the past we have also learned that some things are better left in the ground, and asbestos is one of them. But we learn that through bitter, bitter lessons. We're learning the bitter, bitter lessons of not leaving coal in the ground. It's time for coal and gas to stay in the ground.
Anne Zubrick, is there any question I haven't asked you that is an important part of the story?
I think one thing that's really important to address, particularly as the Treasurer is preparing the budget, is to remind Australians and all politicians that currently Australia is the only developed country who has not signed up to the United Nations Green Climate Fund. I believe that needs to be part of the budget this year, not taken from the aid budget, but added to the aid budget. And I think if we can draw our local members' attention to that, federal local members, and in both houses, and say, this needs to go to Treasury, to Josh Frydenberg, we demand that this be part of the budget this year and that Australia make that commitment. It's a disgrace. It's important to note that Quakers have great compassion for those communities that are going to be significantly adversely affected by the climate crisis. We hear very different views at the moment on both sides of our West Australian Parliament about the future for Collie. And Collie has a very uncertain future. We really need to work with that community and help both individuals and the whole community work towards a different future. This is not easy work, but it's important not to disregard it or pretend that Collie can just continue as it is.
Thank you. Jo Valentine, I've just found you handing out leaflets on the corner of Wesley. I think you've been doing this since you were a girl.
I have been doing this for a very long time, yes, more than 40 years.
And what brings you here today?
The call for urgent action on the climate crisis. We've got to a stage where we shouldn't be ignoring this anymore. So this is a group of church people from various different faiths. It's quite impressive that there are different groups here who all are calling on the government today, right around Australia, to take stronger action on climate change. We'd like something stronger from the opposition as well as from the government.
Now, the Australian Religious Response to Climate Change is a multi-faith network committed to taking action on climate change. What about people who, like Scott Morrison, perhaps are people of faith, but they come to a different conclusion about what level of action is needed?
Well, I guess we need to just keep our hearts and minds open to them because, I mean, this is a thing that we're all in together, which they used to say about COVID, and of course that wasn't quite true. We're all susceptible to getting the bug, but we weren't all treated the same way. It revealed a lot of inequities in our society. But this is something that is affecting everybody already. Some people are blind to it, they really don't want to see. And some people are far too beholden to the fossil fuel companies that want to extract everything they can from the earth before their assets become totally stranded. And that's understandable from a government perspective because they get their royalties and so on, but we've got to quietly say, hey, that's not on. If we get every bit of coal out of the ground that we could get in Australia, we're doomed to about a 2.5% degree of climate, of temperature warming across the planet. That means a lot of the earth will be uninhabitable. So we have to be gentle, I suppose, but you know, maybe the time for gentility is over, because what I also do is work with Extinction Rebellion, and that group, absolutely non-violent, is committed to disruptive action. They say for too long we've done the petitions, we've written the letters, we've tried to see these decision makers who go to churches and so on. So perhaps we need to go to the ministers of those churches, you know, because people in their communities do get very actively involved in what the church is doing. But I suspect that their message is more about personal salvation rather than looking after the whole planet.
Well, you mentioned the need to take more direct action. As you've stood here, I've noticed a few people, it might have been the microphone, but they've sort of declined to take a pamphlet or a leaflet. They've declined to look at the banner in case anyone asks something of them. Do you think that some people have got their head in the sand?
Oh, look, have they ever. Their heads are buried, and it's not just the politicians. Look at these people. They're coming past, and they are too embarrassed to look at what's going on the corner. I mean, I've experienced this over many years. Whatever the message, whether it's been anti-nuclear or saving the forests or working for global disarmament, people are too afraid to see that there's something happening that they could actually be involved in. But we're all citizens of the planet.
Well, we're just on Wesley Corner, but as I look up, I can see Rio Tinto, and I believe the Australian Stock Exchange is in the same building, just over there.
Yeah. The Stock Exchange used to be just down the road. It's moved, has it?
I believe so.
Okay. And then we have South 32, which is another one of the big ones. We have Chevron, we have Woodside. They're all here, and when the parliamentarians come out of the front door of Parliament House, what do they see but the big buildings of those companies, which produce quite a lot of royalties for the government. So it's in their interest to stay afloat financially, to keep these companies afloat and doing their extractive industries. But it can't go on. It just can't go on.
Do you think that corporate funding of political parties is an issue connecting integrity, religious values and democracy?
Oh, look, that's a really good suggestion. And it's something that the Greens have been arguing about for a long time. Immediate disclosure of donations to political parties, because it's all cloaked, it's all hidden. And we only get the reports from the Electoral Commission years after an election about who has donated to whom. Now, these big companies are smart enough to donate to both the major parties. So they usually give a bit more to the Conservatives because they'll get a bit more out of the Conservatives. The doors will be more open, but it's buying lobbying. It is buying access to the parliamentarians. And that's really not good enough in a democracy. We should have everybody being able to access the parliamentarians. The environment groups find it extremely difficult to get an appointment, even with their own environment minister. And yet these companies, they go and see the Premier routinely, regularly.
Well, you mentioned people's denial, perhaps there's numbness, perhaps there's even a sense of despair. How does your religion, or how do different religions help people, I guess, regulate themselves in the long haul, that is, changing government policies about climate emergency?
I guess it's being steadfast, holding the faith, belief that overall humans aren't bad people, overall people will realise that this is in the interest of everybody to take action, but it might be a little bit late by then. We've had the warnings for more than 30 years now. These companies have known that their assets are going to be stranded for more than 30 years, and they've chosen to extract, extract, extract. So as people of faith, I think that it is about being steadfast and holding to the inner truth that you believe is good for everybody, and knowing that so many campaigns over so many centuries have resulted eventually in a victory on the right side of the angels for human rights, for justice, for peace. So we've got to hold on to that, even though it's sometimes very difficult and you face a lot of denial, as we are on this street corner right now.
Well, I'm holding you up, handing out these leaflets, but is there anything else I haven't asked you?
Well, I just want to express some grief and some pain, because I'm a mother and a grandmother, and it all fits into exactly what we've seen going on in Parliament recently and the issue about how women are treated in our society. We are all of women born. Now, if you're a woman and you've produced a child, you know that that actually takes quite a lot of hard work. The men have the easy bit, and so it goes. There's this white privilege, entitlement, that is so embedded in our society, and it fits in exactly how we treat women is how we're treating Mother Earth, without due respect. The Earth gives us everything we need for our survival and for our enjoyment, as well as just mere survival, and yet we trash the Earth like we're not respecting the women in our lives. I mean, most men would love their mothers, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, when it comes to outside their own mothers and sisters, they have this sense of entitlement. Look at that program that that young woman from a Sydney private school has got going, and she's got hundreds, probably by now, thousands of young women saying, yes, well, I've been sexually harassed. So it, for me, it all fits together. It's part of the same story. So we need respect for Indigenous people. You know, that's fundamental. And we're not seeing that happening yet either. The Uluru Statement from the Heart was a plea, a call, you know, and it's been ignored by the major parties. So, and as a grandmother now, I do feel the pain. I stand here and I think, what is it going to be like when my little ones, who are 7 and 3, when they're my age, mid-70s, what's it going to be like then if we've got 2 degrees warming? You know, life will be very, very difficult and not as cozy and as easy as it is now. while we continue to ignore what's going on. So it was good to be part last weekend of a heads burying in the sand at Cottesloe. That was really a fun way of showing to the population at the sculptures by the sea. So we were a living sculpture. Dug holes, buried our heads in the sand with our placard saying, "Act now on climate change." So lots of people are doing it in different ways. This is just the religious response. But loads of community groups are really calling for immediate and urgent action.
Thank you, Joe Valentine.
I'm Daniel Vucic. I'm on the management committee of the WA chapter of Australian Religious Response to Climate Change. And we're here today as part of the global Sacred People, Sacred Earth Day of Action, where bells around the world are ringing at 11 o'clock to signify that we're at the 11th hour in terms of taking action on the climate emergency. And we're here as people from many different faiths, from the Christian tradition, as many Christian denominations, as Quakers, as Buddhists, as people from the Islamic faith, to recognise that this is an issue that affects all of humanity.
What is the connection for you between your faith and care for the environment?
Well, for me, sort of, God is about creation, and God is very much in creation. And so the way that I worship God is by taking care of creation and acknowledging that it is a special gift that was given to us, and that it's a gift that exists for all of humanity. I think now, as people who lived in industrialized nations, you know, we tend to view it as ours, but actually what we do has impacts on other people living all around the world, and we need to sort of come together as humankind in order to address the challenge. And that's why interfaith actions such as this, I think, are so important, because they recognise that this really is a global issue, and that the earth is something that we all share and that connects us all.
For the Abrahamic religions, isn't there a thread of an attitude of dominion over the earth? How has that been interpreted or changed in your mind, our relationship with creation?
Look, I think that those sort of attitudes of dominion towards the earth sort of emerged at a time, a particular context before people actually knew, you know, the damage that could be done to the earth. And so the idea of dominion was about sort of caring and farming and all of those things, and we recognise that those things can be done responsibly, but we're at the stage now where, through technology and industrialisation and advancement, actually dominion looks very different to what it looked like when those texts were written, and actually that's having a really dramatic impact and an irreversible impact, and it's something that now we need to start reversing.
Well, what's the next step for the Australian religious response to climate change? What are you going to do beyond being on street corners?
Well, we do sort of a range of advocacy. So we have signed a number of open letters and have petitioned members of all political parties to take more action on this issue, and we'll continue doing that. But also just sort of recognising that sort of action on climate change happens on a range of levels. And so we support people to take individual action in their lives, and we educate them in that respect. We encourage them to see that it's an issue at their sort of more local community level, and encourage them as people, as members of faith community, to take action and to care about it and to make changes within the life of their faith communities, and also at the broader structural level, which is the public events that we're doing here in order to raise awareness. And yeah, you know, I think climate change, unfortunately, has come to be viewed as a partisan political issue. And what we're here is to recognise the fact that it isn't. It's an issue that affects us all in humanity. And whether you are from the left or the right, whether you're from a conservative religious tradition or a more liberal one, it is something that is within our faith and that God calls us to take action on. And so, that's why we're here, and that's the message that we try to send out.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that's part of your story of being here today?
I guess I've sort of been moved by the interfaith aspect of this. I'm quite sort of heavily involved sort of at a political level in my personal life on climate action. But the thing that sort of strikes me is that when you talk about it as a political issue, people immediately sort of put up a wall if they don't necessarily agree with those politics. And so it's about finding commonalities and actually being able to speak to people through different languages. And in my faith, it's in my sort of instance, it's the language of faith, which is something that's very important to me, to be able to look for those shared connections and those areas where we can agree on things and agree that we all have a responsibility to take action. And so, yeah, depoliticizing it in a sense, even though of course it is a political issue, because the only way to affect change is through political means, but actually recognizing that it's an issue that affects humankind.
Thank you.
Well, I'm Trish McAuliffe, and I'm a member of the Zen Group of WA. We've already done a meditation sit in Forest Place this morning.
Which group was that?
The Zen Group, Zen Buddhist Group of WA. So we sat in meditation, drawing attention to climate change. And so, of course, I want to be part of the wider spiritual community, which is why I came here today to because it's such a critical issue. It's so urgent that as many people as possible need to be voicing their concerns. And I think the fact that the spiritual groups across Australia are doing this, I think it's wonderful, because hopefully all those people that are sitting in their pews will get off and speak out about it.
What is it about Buddhism that is so compatible with environmental care?
Well, we are part of the earth. We meditate and we are part of everything that is. You know, we are at one with the earth. This morning I was with my placards getting on the bus, and there was a Japanese bus driver that said, "Oh, are you a climate activist?" And I said, "Yes, how can you tell?" And he said, "Oh, good for you." He said, I used to protest about killing the whales in Japan." So he said, "I'm with you." And and then he gave me $20. $120, he said, "This is for the cause." And so it was just so heartwarming to get that encouragement from out of the blue like that. Yeah. So, and he said, as I got off the bus, he said, "God bless you."
Thank you so much.
It's a wonderful idea, but I hope everybody, you know, does their own jobs. You know, everybody has to contribute to the betterment of the world. Thank you very much. It was a lovely gathering.
I believe for a good cause, we have to gather, because humanity needs a better environment for our next generations. And good act should be supported, and I believe drop by drop could be an ocean. And if we come for this cause with cooperation, love, unity, hopefully we are going to have a better country with a beautiful climate and joyous kids. And I'm glad that now people are paying attention to do something for betterment of humanity. Thank you.
In your own faith group, are there things that your group are doing about climate?
I think it's a good cause, but every individual should help. Every individual should do the task that they're supposed to do for the betterment, and gradually, hopefully. But they also, I think the governments also should support to happen.
Thank you so much. I've been interviewing people. You're just a passers-by, is that right, passerby?
Yeah.
What did you see when you walked by?
I just saw people talking about an issue that they're passionate about, and I wanted to know what it was. I think what they were saying was super valid. I really love that they were talking about God and how, like, God cares about the environment. He cares about justice. because he is a just God. And so we're just talking about why it matters, and I totally agree. I think it definitely matters, and I think God has called all people to be stewards of the earth and take care of it, and so definitely support what they're doing here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We heard there from Anne Zubrick and Joe Valentine, Daniel Vucic and Trish McAuliffe, and others. They were speaking with Adrienne Glamorgan at the Perth, Western Australia gathering on March the 11th, 2021, part of the biggest ever global faith-based day of action for the climate so far. The theme of the day was Sacred People, Sacred Earth. I'm Elizabeth Poe, and with Adrienne Glamorgan from Yarnwaves Media, this has been a special edition of Understory, Radio for the Planet.